Off you go.
Off I go. Hello and welcome back to the Time Podcast today with lovely Arno. Welcome back, my co-host, and the one and only, the queen of time social media, Anna. Hello, Anna. Welcome on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nice now, I know there's a bit more to say about you than just being the queen of social media at time. In a very quick overview, what else do you do? I know there's heaps. Just pick your two highlights.
My two highlights. Okay, so the biggest thing about me, I guess, is I'm the owner and operator of Travel Agent Finder, which was built during the pandemic as my pandemic passion project to connect travelers with an expert travel agent for their needs.
Loving it. Awesome. And I promise today not to be too mean to Arno, so I hope I'm doing okay so far. Arno, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you? How are you, Anna?
Always good. Awesome. Now today, guys, we talk about something super exciting. We talk about introverts and extroverts. What does it mean, obviously? How do you manage intro and extroverts? How's the travel industry looking like? Is it intro? Is it extroverts? And so on. And Anna, we've done a little survey, haven't we, within the Time community. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it was really interesting. We did a poll on LinkedIn asking if people identified as an extrovert or an introvert. And from the followers who responded, it was 62% introvert and 38% extrovert. So I was quite surprised by that. I thought it was just me out there being an introvert in the travel industry, but I feel like more and more conversations are popping up and we're hearing from others who feel similar.
Yeah, it's really interesting finding, because we had a guest on the podcast not that long ago, if I remember, I think it was Holly in South Australia, who said that she was an introvert. And I couldn't believe it because, you know, she's been nominated for all these awards. And, you know, so I thought, well, you know, she must be going out there in the community and people recognize, you know, like the work that she's doing. And, you know, she must be very extroverted. And that's probably the reason why she gets nominated for all these awards. But she, you know, said on the podcast that she was an introvert. And I thought it was really interesting. Like, we had a little discussion with her about that. So I'm surprised, you know, with what you're saying. But on the other end, it's very much in line with some of the guests that we've had on that podcast. So yeah.
Can we maybe clarify first, what does it mean to be introvert and extrovert? Because maybe we don't all have the same understanding. Just because you're outgoing, but maybe doesn't mean you're an extrovert. Maybe it means you're an introvert, just masked up, or I don't know. Who wants to explain it to an old dumb German?
I don't know if I have the technical explanation, but I guess if I had to summarize it, an introvert is somebody who needs to do certain things alone or needs some time alone, and is not always at their best when they're surrounded by people constantly. So it doesn't mean that they're not social. It just means that they might need time away to recharge from that. Extrovert being the opposite. So they are recharged by being around people, having great conversations. They do tend to be, I think, sort of louder and maybe more confident than introverts, but not always.
Can I be both at the same time?
Yes.
Well, somebody did actually contact me and said to me that I should have had, I think it's ambivert. Is that what it's called? I should have had that as an option because that's how they identified. So I didn't know that. So I learned something from that experience too. So I guess you can be both, or maybe you identify different parts of your personality with both sides. I'm not sure. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Well, I was asking because when I did my pre-research, and there was like lists like, oh, if you're an introvert, you're that. If you're an extrovert, you're like that. And I often kind of ended up like roughly 50-50 for both of them. And I thought, I know I'm confused. My mom knows I'm confused since I was born. Everyone knows I'm confused. But that really confused me, you know? So I thought, who am I? If I'm not that or that, who am I? It really confused me.
Actually, I've always had a problem with labels. Mm. I don't like putting labels on things because I think everybody is different. But sometimes when you are wanting to understand someone, or maybe look at people who are similar and like-minded to you, it can be helpful. So it's interesting that you're a bit of maybe identifying a bit with both sides. And you, I guess, I think it was called ambivert. I might have to Google that later.
Yeah.
So Anna, what about you? You're very ambivalent when it comes to how you dress when you go to the bakery. How do you feel about this?
Oh my God, ambivalent. I haven't heard that word in such a long time.
It's not better.
Yeah, thank you. that's a term that, you know, like an archaic term to refer to people like me, I should say. You know, like from a different century. You wouldn't know because obviously you're way younger than me, Timo. Look, I agree with you, and I think that I probably see it more with you, Timo, than being like a full introvert or an extrovert. You know, like, I think that ambivert is probably like a very newish kind of term. And, you know, like, even though people say that they don't like to be put into labels, you know, people really love to put a word on things, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that before, you know, what I felt closer to was that introvert, extrovert, right? So yes, at times I'm very introvert. I need to recharge and I need to be on my own to be able to do that. And then at times I'm very extrovert and I feel very comfortable in social environments. And so, I feel like I'm sitting a little bit in between, if that makes sense.
Mm. So Anna, what about you when you go to a time networking event, for example, and you have the need to be an introvert because you need to recharge, which as an introvert you would do probably on your own or maybe with a very few close friends only. How do you manage? How do you approach it?
Well, actually, I used to be petrified of going into anything like in a group scenario or event. I was really, really, really had to push myself to do that and to start conversations with people. But I think that actually is one of the beauty, one of the things that time has given me. And it's a bit more confidence in that, especially within our industry. So if I look at the first time, for example, that I went to a time function, I think I met somebody out the front door because I was scared to go in by myself. But, you know, I've met some amazing people, incredible people within the time community. And I'm, you know, 100% would feel confident now walking into the room by myself. I know that there's going to be people that, you know, that I know there. I know they're a great bunch of people and that I'm not going to have any fear or any problems there. So that's something that's really, I think, changed things for me since I joined Time, because it's not only those time functions, but now when I go to other industry events, I don't have that paralyzing fear anymore about what if I don't know anyone? Because I know that when I walk in, there's going to be at least one or two people from the community there that I know. And I think that's also helped kind of give me that extra confidence for just general networking within the industry as well.
So can we say that you can train yourself to go from, and I believe it's spectrum anyway, you're not 100%, maybe some are, but I think there's a percentage for everything, obviously. We're probably all on a spectrum there.
Yeah.
So can you say you can move your percentage from, let's say you're 80% introvert, more towards extrovert actively?
Absolutely. I can't tell you how much I feel that I've changed in that regard over the last few years, 100%. I mean, I was very much someone who worked alone on things and enjoyed my time alone. And, you know, even when I was during the pandemic, during the lockdowns, building up my business idea, I think I worked on it online for 9 months before I even told anyone about it, which is just crazy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, whereas if somebody had said to me in 2 years, your time, your picture's going to be in the trade media quite often, you're going to have, I mean, I didn't even have a profile picture of my face on my Facebook profile until a few years ago. I just had, you know, I always had pictures of like the back of my head taking a picture off a cruise ship or, you know, something that wasn't me. So I have definitely come a long way. So yes, I think you're right. Oh. You can learn, tactics isn't the right word, but you can learn tips, you can grow your confidence, and you can change that, I think. But it's also really hard to push yourself when you're not comfortable doing those things, but it gets easier, like anything, the more you practice.
But does introvert mean less confidence?
In my case, yes. Maybe not across the board, no.
I know. What about you? I know, Ali, for example, is pretty good with his social media content. Like, he's happy to show. I don't mean it's negative now. I mean it like you're confident to post photos of yourself and all that stuff, or your achievements or all that. So you're also an introvert. What is it for you? Is it a confident thing that makes you extrovert, or?
I don't necessarily think it's about confidence. You know, we always go from times where, you know, you're very confidence goes through like ups and downs. I'm not sure. Like, for me, for example, social media or what I post on LinkedIn or my other social platforms, it's all about like a personal branding kind of exercise that I try to do. And so it's more about who am I, what do I stand for, and then what do I want people, you know, that are on these platforms to see about me, and the kind of, you know, positivity that I want to you know, portray. So I don't think it's a question of confidence or not, but I feel like pretty confident in myself. So I don't think that being an introvert is a lack of confidence, but I totally relate to what Anna was saying about like going to these time events. Like, I think that the first time, I think you're the one who talked to me the first time I went to a time event, Timo. So it was quite reassuring.
Thank you for still coming back.
yes, exactly. You know, because you're quite intimidating. I mean, you're quite tall and all that. No, but you know, the thing is that I think I had followed you on LinkedIn for we had connected on LinkedIn for quite some time, and so, you know, I saw that I felt like you were someone very extroverted, and then you're very jovial. You talk a lot about, you know, the things that you do for your company, and so when I went into that first time meeting, and then you came and talked to me, I was like, oh my God, look at this guy, he's so confident. And then I didn't necessarily feel very, very easy in that sort of in that environment. But, you know, like Anna says, you know, the longer the more times you go to these events, you are able to come out of your shell a little bit more and to go there without that fear. And, you know, I can totally relate to that. Some sort of a little bit of a social anxiety going into an event where you think that you're not going to know anyone. And, you know, and it doesn't happen to me anymore. Like, we had an event last week with Cato, and, you know, the number of people that I didn't know was probably more like smaller than the number of people I knew in the room. So, you know, like that trends kind of reverses at some stage. And I think it's very positive in that sense, because we're in an industry which is so small, and that community aspect, I think, is really important for us, because it has something that for us as human beings, but also for the businesses that we run, it's also really good to be able to network, because that opens up business opportunities.
So Anna, as a business owner, I'm not sure if you have employees, but even if not, you kind of have to lead the stakeholders around you to make sure your business functions. How do you lead as an introvert?
Well, it's really interesting, Timo, because when I first started Travel Agent Finder, I imagined that the agents would be the face of my business, not me. I didn't want to be, so I used my logo for everything in the beginning. But I really learned how important it is to have a face behind a company and behind a brand that people can relate to. And I think, you know, I was very lucky when I launched my business to the trade, because the borders were still closed within Australia, right? It wasn't the best time, but I launched to the trade early for a few strategic reasons, and because I like to help people, I wanted to help people. And I learned very quickly that people seem to relate to my story of losing my job and working on this business, you know, as a passion project more so than a business. And, you know, to, I guess, better communicate with that and relate to the people around me, I needed to talk to people. I needed to show my face. I needed to explain what I was doing and not just hide behind a company or a logo. So It was probably that realization that forced me to come out of my shell a little bit. And as I said, it did get easier as time went on. I still do struggle with it a little bit. But, you know, like I said before, practice, 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 it does help. And I'm doing things that I never in my life thought I would do before. So it's pushing me to grow and develop, which is important as a business owner if you're going to be leading people, leading a brand, leading stakeholders and partners.
And does it feel good to do that, or is it always just that effort because as an introvert it's not your natural personality or your natural action?
It does feel good. You know, I've met some of the most incredible people that I never would have met, you know, previously.
Including us, of course.
Including you, absolutely. No, honestly, it's always...
Not you, Arno, just me.
It's always lovely to see your faces when I turn up to an event. None of that would have happened if I hadn't pushed myself to grow. So, you know, there are still things that I'm quite worried about. I've been invited to speak at a travel agent conference with Travel Agent Achievers in Fiji, which is really exciting. That is something that I never in a million years thought that I would be doing, and I'm still very, very nervous about it. But again, trying to push myself to do new things, and I can see that, you know, that could be valuable for agents, and it will definitely be valuable for me, my personal development as well. So yes, keep going, keep trying.
You go
ahead. No, you go ahead, please.
I just wanted to know if for example, you know, like based on some of the research would have done on like introvert, extrovert, if there was some tips or tricks that you would have found, like do people that are trying to come out of their shell, do they do like acting classes or I don't know.
You know, for me,
acting classes,
that, yeah, I would find that really hard.
Improv.
It would probably help, you know. For me, it's actually been reading. So,
okay.
And a few YouTube videos, but reading especially, because I think we introverts are born into a very extroverted world. And it wasn't in my youth or, you know, a long time ago, there wasn't that label. It wasn't really something that was discussed. You know, sometimes we just thought something was wrong with us, you know, so, which isn't nice, but to be able to actually read and educate yourself that this is, a personality type, that this is a way that people live and that there are other people like this was such an eye opener for me, because when you understand the root of something, it's easier for you to deal with it and also overcome it, I think. So we shouldn't talk about overcoming being an introvert, because, you know, it's not a problem. But definitely understanding more about it was huge for me. And I've read quite a lot of books on the subject and some really interesting ones. I actually just flipped over to my other screen while you were talking earlier to check the name of a book that I think really stood out for me, in case it helps anyone else. It's called Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking by Susan Cain. And it's really, really interesting. Like, I found there was a lot of things that that I found in my own sort of personality traits that maybe I didn't realize were part of being an introvert that came up. And social media actually is a really interesting one. So in this book, there is, I think, a chapter dedicated to the fact that people who are introverts are often really open and share a lot on social media, but they may not actually do the same thing in person when they're having a conversation with people, I actually never understood my own behavior there, because I was, yes, I didn't have my photo up or anything, but I would often share quite personal things on my social media. And as you probably have both seen, I'm quite vocal on LinkedIn. I always thought that was a strange thing, because, in person, especially if it's a large group, I can be very quiet and quite closed off. So it was interesting for me to find out that there is, you know, research behind that, and that other people experience the same thing. So I think just knowing there are other people out there that are similar to you does help you. So, yeah, I would recommend that book, actually. It's been really interesting for me.
It sounds great. Thank you. I find it very interesting that you mentioned that introverts often are fairly loud, vocal, whatever you want to call it, on socials. Which goes in line with what I described before about Arnaud, where you think like, oh someone's so confident and quiet. No, I mean that in a positive
so
way.
So much louder than me on social media.
Excuse me.
You know what?
But I'm confused, you know. I'm confused. I am allowed to. That's my extrovert side.
Yes.
I'm not always very good speaking off the cuff. You know, even now I stumble over my words a bit, but I find when I'm writing, I can more clearly communicate what I need to. So to me, that sort of explains why maybe I'm able to share more things on social media than I might in a conversation with a stranger, for example. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how do we manage an introvert versus an extrovert? So we talked about leadership a little bit and how we approach or how we establish ourselves as leaders or what some of the challenges are. Mm. What about managing introverts versus extroverts?
That's a really good question. And I will start this conversation by saying that I don't believe I am a good manager. I used to manage a team and agency, and not that I was bad at it or anyone ever told me I was bad at it, but I had a particular way of teaching or developing people that I think only really resonated with other people like me. So I identified that I was not necessarily the right person for that position, and I actually stood myself down. And my assistant manager at the time became the manager of the store, because I really felt like I knew what my strengths were and that wasn't one of them, and I'm better off, you know, focusing on what I'm good at, and she was better off focusing what she was good at. So to come back to your question, I just thought that was relevant, so I wanted to say that first. But I think the key is actually understanding how those around you, including introverts, best learn, and making sure that you're tailoring your approach to those people, because it's very, very different. I, for example, I'm a very visual person, and I like high attention to detail, so I like detail. So if you say to me, Anna, go away and do this thing with zero direction, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea. I need to ask you questions. I need to know the process. And then I go away and I do a really good job of it. But other people are different. I maybe gave them too much information, maybe too much direction, and they just needed to know, you know, top line what the task was and find their own way to do it. So I think the key is really understand how people like to learn, and that is easier. That is easier than it sounds. There are techniques that you can use to do that. And just consider that not everybody is the same as you in their learning style and also their personality.
Strong words. What are your thoughts?
Oh, look, you know, I can relate to that definitely. It's really interesting when you talked about like that you decided to stand yourself down and then someone else to cover from you. I listened to an interview not that long ago about the CEO of Gymshark. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that brand and do fitness clothing. And he was basically saying that, you know, like he was not the right person to be the CEO of his business for a little while, because he had no skills on how to scale the business up and all that sort of stuff. So he decided to stand himself down to get someone to come in the business in order to, take it to the next level. And along the way, he actually learned some of the skills, and then, you know, eventually he's been able to get back his role as CEO. So I really understand where you've come from. And I find it's probably a sign that you're quite, you know, smart about it, right? Sometimes it's good to play to your strength. For me, yeah, I totally relate to when you say that you talk about how to adapt your management style to the people that you lead, because yeah, everyone is different and everyone has different aspirations. And so, you know, like you want to be a good leader, well, you need to adapt yourself every time to the people that you talk to. But I think that, you know, yeah, all good leaders are capable to adapt themselves to their audience, whether it's the people that they lead, but also, you know, any type of stakeholder, because everyone comes from a different background. So you need to understand that. It's you need to have a little bit of emotional intelligence in that sense, I think.
Look, I think a lot of people think they're really great at everything. And you know, that might be our impression of ourselves, but I don't know. I've just always been very open with, I have a lot of good qualities and I can do a lot of things really well, but I also know my limitations. And I think we all succeed when we consider those. So there's, you know, I don't need to do everything. I don't need to do the things I'm not good at because somebody else can do it better.
Definitely. Well, what about you, Timo? I mean, I know that you sit on the fence, but you know, you're in the same sort of position as us. You know, like there's a little bit of you who's introvert, so you know, you might have an opinion.
Yeah, look, I was just thinking when I was listening to you, I was thinking, is a good leader actually always adapting to the audience, or is a good leader adapting the audience? You know, so and obviously there's no universal yes or no answer to that. I personally feel I do change my communication style according to people. Like with a lot of people, I can be much more relaxed in how I can communicate. Other people really want a professional language and professional distance, you know, and if I identify that as two extremes now, but if I identify that, I obviously play to that. To not offend the other person, mainly, not necessarily because my intention is to show a very good learning process. Second layer of that, but good to cover. The main reason is I don't want to offend the person, so I kind of approach a person so they stay as open as possible to what I have to say. But by saying that, I also don't change who I am and how I lead, because I just have a certain range of what I present to the team, and take it or don't take it. And if you don't take it, can you adjust to it? And if not, well, then maybe let's look for the right team for you. So yeah, that was interesting. And there as an introvert, I think the difficulty is, the beauty about that is there's a lot of involvement of the team, like a lot of tasks. I don't have the urge to do them. I let you take responsibility there and test and trial yourself. And if it goes wrong, I'm here and then have to be the extrovert to sort it out for you. So I think that's the positive. Some people might say, oh, at some stage, it's preferred to take action earlier. And that's probably where over time, I'll hopefully get the timing better and better. But definitely if I look back 10 years, I would say the timing was far off. Mm-hmm. I hope now I hopefully have it kind of. I should do a staff survey. I might not want to hear the results. so that are my thoughts around it. I think it's definitely very possible, especially in the newer days, to be an introvert and a great leader at the same time. Probably our parents' generation would have not considered an introvert as an accepted leader. Mm-hmm. They would have definitely want someone who's very extrovert, who's out there. And you probably would have been the first perfect lady as an introvert. You know, second row, quiet, smiling, accepting, but also something to deliver. So I think that's probably the stereotype set up. But in these days, I think very different, especially as more and more people want to be part of the journey, want to contribute significantly as in direction, as in values that a community or a company creates. So I think it's probably a better time for introverts than, let's say, 25 years ago. Anyone disagrees?
No, definitely not. No, and I think that, you know, we have now a lot of examples of people that are very successful business people that are portraying, you know, introvert sort of characteristics. You know, like the first one that comes to mind will probably be Bill Gates. You know, this is someone who is so, I mean, in terms of the impact that his company has had on the world, it's tremendous. But you know, that was someone that is still quite introvert, that you know, still like, you know, takes a a week off and go and retire on, you know, in his property somewhere in the mountain, because he needs that time to recharge. I mean, he does a lot of work there during that time, but he needs that time to recharge. And you know, it's someone that has been significantly impactful for a lot of people in his organization and for people, you know, in the technology world. So I think that, you know, we have a lot of examples like that of people that have been very successful that are introverts. And you know, obviously social media is you know, showing how you can be, you know, the next Bill Gates. So I think it's very positive. I'd say that nowadays you can still identify to these people and then think it's okay. And like Anna was saying, like, you know, there's a lot of people like you.
Well, I actually read, and I can't remember which of my books I read this in, but 98% of the highest performers around the world are introverts. And that really stood out to me because, as I said earlier, when I was younger, I very much felt like there was something wrong with me or, you know, that I was alone in that. So 98% of the world's highest performers, I think that's, you know, really says something.
Yeah, and that's, it definitely explains why I'm not achieving anything. I'm too far in the middle. I was just quickly thinking about how that looks in the sports world. Obviously, I play a lot of tennis and play on a not terrible level. And
you're doing really well at tennis. Why are you beating yourself up?
You I'm know, not beating myself up. I'm just saying I'm not a professional tennis player.
anyhow, yeah, for a non-professional tennis player, you're doing really well.
Exactly. I think though, even there, the successful players, take me out of the equation, but even there, the successful players, just from observing them, very introvert as well, actually. Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes quite outgoing on the court, if, you know, because it's a frustrating game. We probably have that as introverts as well. There's probably some buttons if the environment or circumstances press them, we probably might get quite explosive. I would assume Anu can get quite explosive if the croissant is not done right or something at the bakery.
Yes. Oh my God, that's what my friends say about me.
Is it actually?
Yes. I'm like, oh, this croissant is not good. Let's go. I actually say we're not coming back here. The croissant is not good. I actually do say
and
that.
Do you do a dramatic stand up and you throw the croissant on the floor and then you just do a turnaround and then you walk away?
No, I don't want to offend the people who actually bake the croissant, because you know that they probably think they did a really good job of it. But you know, like, I look at my friends and I'm like, we're not coming back here. The croissant is not good.
So why do we think so many introverts are in the travel industry? Like, it's a big percentage. We would have probably expected something closer to 50-50, or to be honest, more towards the extrovert. That was my expectation. Why do we all end up in tourism and travel?
I've got a couple of theories, but do you want to go first, Anna?
No, you go, Anna. If you have a,
do you want to validate them first?
If you have a theory, let's hear it. Because I really don't have one at all. I mean, I have ideas, but not really very formed. But please go ahead.
Well, a couple of thoughts. The first one is, you know, we did the poll to the Time family, and it makes sense to me that people who are introverted might be more likely to be involved with Time because of those benefits. That, you know, those things that it can help you with and the great community that you become a part of. So there is that. Generally speaking, I think that people in the travel industry really are passionate and love what they do, but they also like to take care of people. And I think, you know, they really care. They care about what they're doing. They care about people. And I think that is a trait or a quality that tends to resonate with introverted people. But really, aside from that, I don't know. It's interesting, right?
Yes, very interesting. So. I'm just wondering, you know, if also it's not like a little bit part of the, like, the nature of the job. If I put myself in the shoes of a travel consultant, there's that time where they're going to be in a social environment where someone is going to walk in and say, I'm going to go on a holiday, blah, blah, blah. These people are going to go off. And the travel consultant is going to have that quiet time and, you know, build that itinerary, that holiday for them, and all that sort of stuff. And I think that that's probably very much in line with what we described about introverts, where they have that social aspect, where they're really good at it, good communicating and so forth, but also need that time to recharge. And I think that that's probably something which is quite, yeah, you know, in line with travel consultants. Even though I'm not one, I can say that, you know, in my line of work, there's also that time where, you know, you're at events, you're in an environment where you have to sell your product, your services, and all that. But you also have that time a little bit more quiet when, you know, you have to strategize on that. So I think that, yeah, that might be why it's more, there's more introverted people in travel.
My guess would have been what you also said, Anna, that probably introverts are more likely to highly enjoy helping other people and organizing for other people. But extroverts are obviously a bit more of the show pony. That's clearly my extrovert side, the show pony thing. Yeah. What's so funny about that?
You have the hair that goes with it, so, you know.
Well, I've never thrown my croissant to the cafe floor and walked out on it.
I haven't. I would never do that. Do you imagine? Oh my God, I'd be so embarrassed if this happened to me. You know, I'm not your typical French person. You know, I don't storm out and I don't make a big scene. Or, not in public.
I see. Anyhow, we're already more than half an hour in. Anna, there's definitely something we want to know from our first officially outed introvert on this show.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I know. And it's nothing too crazy. However, what is one thing that you as an introvert would never share publicly?
Oh, no, because now you're going to make me do it.
Not at all. It's just us.
It's just us.
No one is. It's more than 25 minutes in.
About a few thousand people that listen to the podcast.
Here's the most unintroverted thing about me. That's what I'm going to share with you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. I love, love, love karaoke.
Wow.
What?
I know. It doesn't fit with any, you know, the rest of my introverted personality, but I love it. Having said that, I'm not about to get up on a microphone in front of hundreds of people. When I go to karaoke, it's usually with two or three people or a very small group that I'm friends with and know really well. So, you know, I'll add that little asterisk against what I just said. But, yeah, that's probably something that, you know.
And what's your go-to song?
Yeah.
Actually, maybe another thing that might surprise you. Anything 90s alternative grunge or rock?
That's, grunge, 90s yeah, grunge.
90s
wow.
grunge.
Wow.
I used to have blue hair. I bet you didn't know that about me.
We would never share with anyone.
No.
Wow. I absolutely love music and I like all types of music, but because you asked me what my go-to would be, it'd be something from that era.
Mm.
Wow, and
that's
I was
amazing.
Going to think that you were going to go for like Mariah or Christina or someone like really cheesy.
I don't have the high octave. Okay. I'm more of the lower. Actually, there's a friend who I often go to karaoke with, and it's funny because he'll do the high notes and I do the low notes.
Wow.
he can do the Mariah and Christina. I can't.
Not bad. Well, thanks for sharing that. That was a real dark secret. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I did not think I would share that with anyone on a podcast, so there you go.
See, it's always a new. There's always a new. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I could actually talk at least an hour further about this.
Yes,
but we're really already quite far in. Yeah, definitely very interesting. Both of you, thanks for joining and definitely contributing. Thanks for sharing the croissant story. Thanks for sharing the karaoke story. You know, I learn every time on this podcast a lot of things that are really important and a lot of things that are important.
Thank you so much for having me today. It's been an interesting discussion.
Interesting. I hope it was mostly interesting. Anytime. All right. Cool. Thank you, Arno. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.